every day on The Roar.
Walt Tipula Road Rage just saw this. Alabama running back A.K. Deer injured in first fall camp scrimmage. They can't really afford that because they don't have any running backs and they can't run the ball. So good luck to Alabama because I think they're going to need it. I know he signed an extension. I think by the end of the year, I think DeBoer's seat is going to be on fire. Absolutely on fire. We shall see, but... first of all, I think South Carolina is going to Tuscaloosa and beating them. I've said that for weeks, and I am taking those points, whatever those points are. I'm taking all those points, and loving it. I'm seeing people leave that I didn't even know were here, that I don't know who they are.
Well,
which is interesting.
You know what happens when I'm around, Walt?
What?
The ghosts.
Oh, you remember? I forgot about the ghosts. Yeah, I forgot about the
ghosts. Hadn't been around because I hadn't been around. You know, but now they're coming back.
You know, it's funny. Last year, we were also sure about everything about Clemson. This year, we're not sure about any of it. When we were sure last year, it didn't work out. Maybe when we're not sure, it's going to work out. I don't know. But, you know, I asked you about which area are you most concerned with, and your choice was offensive line. But it seems like the choices, to me, these are the areas, okay? Quarterback, where you have one career start. Running back, you don't really have many starts either, for that matter, but I'm going to skip that for now. Quarterback, Morgan wants offensive line as number one concern. The linebacker, depth, talent, I think is a concern.
Let's make a list of things we're not concerned with because it's getting too long.
And then defensive tackle, I think is a concern, and maybe a bigger concern if Burley's injury is more serious than we know.
This team has a lot more than I think we want to admit preseason here. This is not a... I can see why you didn't pick them as your not top 20... possible champion.
Yeah.
You know, I was wondering why you didn't pick Clemson as a not top 20 team that was a dark horse champion, but it seems like they have a lot of concerns. I mean, you basically listed every position group. Did you know what the one position list that we listed last year? Punter.
Well, and think about this. One of the areas that I didn't list was the worst area in the team last year, and that was the secondary.
Well, and because when we were really banking on all brand new faces.
Right, and converted faces. Hannafin was a converted wide receiver.
Well, they're moving him, you know, to second string, right?
But I'm talking about last year.
Yeah, and last year we were sold that all these wide receivers could play other positions.
Well, again, there was a lot of talk about the depth at safety and not worried about that at all. That turned into a massive problem. So, you know... We're assuming that's fixed with the new guys, but again, you got to have some familiarity with each other, with the scheme, togetherness. I mean, there's still a lot of growth that needs to happen there, and there may be some growth phase issues as part of the process, and you don't really want to have that against Jace Brown of LSU, who I think is a 6'4" vertical threat.
Well, but the big or Tre'Davious Green. Which, I mean, he hurt him last year, too. He was one of the – I mean, that was kind of the seal of the deal touchdown after a turnover, right? But I think, you know, they've got to gel. But the good thing is, like you mentioned this yesterday, nobody's saying that LSU's going to have everything figured out in week one either.
No, I don't think they are. It's a part of the – obviously, that game conversation, I've felt this way all along, that I expect this to be a competitive game. And I don't know that LSU – I don't think either of these teams are going to be great out of the gate. And I think we're going to have a game that is close by that nature. And it's not that these teams are great. It's that they both have questions. And I think that's how you get what I think you're going to have, like a 24-21 game, something like that, 27-21, something like that. I'd be surprised if either team got to 30. You know, turnovers can change that, that kind of thing. But I don't see it. That's where I am. So that'd be my expectation.
If you said, so when you talk about a group, I said offensive line. If you want to talk about a specific person, I think Christopher Vezina. He's another, I mean, if you look at what did Dabo bank on with not getting replacements, and you could possibly throw in linebacker because they didn't go get somebody after they lost the somebody. But he purposely did not get any new quarterbacks. And they did kind of try. They entertained a few offensive linemen, but they didn't bring any in. So to me, specific person has got to be Christopher Vezina. I mean, he has to hit. I mean, he sat behind Cade Klubnik, which is maybe an indictment on him, but he sat behind him. Now is his opportunity. I mean, and as you mentioned, the quarterback, you got to be good. You can't just be barely getting by a quarterback.
The two areas that I don't think Clemson can afford any injuries are linebacker and defensive tackle. I don't think Clemson can afford any injuries in either one of those areas. Now, some might say, well, past Sammy Brown, the linebacker's sort of an unknown mix to begin with, and maybe an injury there wouldn't change it because you just, you know, elevate another guy. I mean, I heard Ben Buller talk about this at length, and I obviously respect him in his view. I think we need to see those guys on a field making impact and consistently being in the right place as Ben Buller always was. I have my concerns. I have my concerns about the linebacker level, and I don't want to see any injuries there. I also don't want to see any other injuries at defensive tackle because I think that could be devastating. I do not think Clemson can afford any other injuries. First of all, I hope the Burley injury isn't serious. I don't think we can read anything into what we've heard about that so far, unless there's some new information on that. And that area definitely concerns me. I don't think Clemson can afford any other defensive tackle injury issues. You know, look, this can be true in many positions. You get in this conversation about, well, we can't afford an injury. I mean, what if Jacobs got hurt? I mean, if Jacobs gets hurt, your entire view of the offensive line changes. And Thurman's been had some injury issues. I mean, I think from center out, the left side of your line is set. And I think pretty good. I believe in Sewell. I think Sewell is going to anchor that offensive line. I think he's going to do a good job. I think Thurman is athletic. I think he's talented. I think Jacobs is athletic and talented and the size of a mountain. It's the right side that remains unsettled. And we'll see how that plays out. But I'm relatively optimistic about the potential of the offensive line. You know, again, we don't know about the depth answers yet. We'll find that out. Hopefully we don't need to find it out. But you need eight guys who can play. I mean, on both lines of scrimmage, you need eight guys who can play. I am pretty excited about the defensive end spots. I think that Clemson has better overall depth at edge than they've had in recent years. I think you have four guys potentially who can play. I think that Merritt can play. I think Mayo can play. And I think the starters obviously can play. And I'm expecting a big year from Lawson in terms of sacks. I think that Lawson and Held need to combine for 16 sacks or more. I think Clemson needs to have that. If you get that combination of Lawson and Held combining for 16 sacks with improved defensive backfield play, which should help the defensive backfield anyway, I think that makes Clemson a better football team. So that's how I see it. Let me get Jason in here in Columbia on the Pratt injury lawyers phone line. We'll get back to the to the best football teams of all time, according to Sporting News. And Morgan wants to know my Mount Rushmore. Jason, how are you, Jason? Good to have you as always, man.
Hey, well, yeah, this actually dovetails with conversation about the greatest teams, man. Okay, well, now you tell me. I did not get to listen to the entire show here, so I apologize. You probably covered some of this, but I am triggered by anyone thinking that that Indiana team would hang on the field with 2018 Clemson. I just, for whatever reason, 2018 Clemson gets so disrespected when people talk about the greatest teams of all time. And I did get a look at that list. At least towards the top, they were putting in some historic teams. I know you said you wanted more historic representation.
I don't think they did a service to the great teams from history. They're way too low. Putting 1944 Army 19th, it's just stupid ignorant. Putting the Wilkeson, Oklahoma team 15th, again, is I think it's just stupid ignorant. But yeah.
And you know, my one beef, or it's not even a beef at Indiana. I mean, what they did was awesome. They went 16-0, beat a bunch of ranked teams. But it's like you have to account for the eras and the watered-down rosters. Now, I don't think, Walt, that any of these teams that have won national championships recently
would hang. Are the rosters watered down? I mean,
Let's go roster for roster with Clemson from that team. I mean,
see, I'm not sure you can do that. I don't think you can do that with Indiana, because I think the whole was better than the parts at Indiana. You know, okay. Indiana played. Look, if you're going to evaluate those teams, one thing I'll say that's going to go in Indiana's favor is their schedule. They had a tougher route, and in my mind, and played better teams. Now, not all throughout, but you know,
right? And certainly not in the title game.
Well, again, look, I think that Alabama team was
the greatest.
I never thought that. I thought they were overrated. I thought Clemson was going to kill them. So I thought they had issues. They had health issues. I thought Clemson was going to kill them. I thought Tua Stunk.
Because I don't think that Miami team was like anybody had them on the radar as a historically great team going into that championship game last year. And they came within one Beck interception of winning that thing.
Three first-round draft picks on the offense and defensive front, and the best line of scrimmage in America, and probably competitive with most teams. So, and not only that, they have two defensive tackles who return who are both great talents.
Are you talking Miami or Indiana?
Miami.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, and here's the thing though, Clemson 2018. You know, and look at Miami. Miami's strength last year.
I think you're making the wrong argument. That's what, honestly, Jason. I don't think your argument's against Indiana. I think it's against some of these other teams. Indiana accomplished the same thing that Clemson did. If we want to get technical about 10 and 11, I've already said. I mean, yeah. You know, let me give you an example. Last year's Indiana team averaged 41.6 points per game. And gave up 11.6 points per game. Clemson averaged 44.3 points per game and gave up 13.1 points per game. Virtually identical. I mean, in fact, what do we have? We have a 31.2 difference, and we have a 30 difference. So, I mean, it's...
But do you think the collection of talent, maybe this goes to your point about the sum of the parts being
great. I think,
because like the Power Rangers, there's no way that Indiana team, I mean, they got great front guys, but I mean, Power Rangers great? I don't think so.
Well, you know where they may be better is the offensive line, because they might have the best offensive line in the country.
Sure. Yeah, because that's the only place where Clemson possibly, you know, was an elite in 2018.
But yeah, look, from I think the 2018 Clemson team is not been done a favor or service by this ranking. I think to put them 11th is utterly laughable. I think,
I see that Alabama 2009 team, and I'm like, wait a minute.
Clemson would.
That's a rudimentary offense compared to Clemson.
Yeah, that to me is laughable. I mean, I think that's laughable. We need to discuss some of those other teams, but. I think both Clemson, both 2018 Indiana and 2018 2025 Indiana. Really, what both teams accomplished was incredible. Absolutely incredible. Yeah. To go through those seasons unbeaten. I mean, those two teams went 31-0 and took on all comers.
All right, I'll put you on the spot.
Be great teams.
What's the line on a championship game field? What do you think the Vegas line would be?
Well, you know, again, Clemson wasn't respected in that regard either.
Yeah. But I'm just saying what we know they are.
After
the Bama slaughter.
Yeah, I mean, look, I think that the reality in my mind is that, as I said earlier, I think Clemson has the more significant talents. I think Clemson was one of the more talented teams we've seen in history. I think the team was very, very talented. I think Indiana is hard to measure that way, you know, but they still had ingredients. I mean, they had the Heisman Trophy winner at quarterback, you know, which I don't think you can ignore. They had great college players at some positions.
Right, but didn't he only throw 300 yards like once or twice all season? I know he was a gutty player, and he was money, but, I mean, wasn't he kind of limited what they asked of him?
No, I don't think he was limited. I think that's just the way they played. I mean, they're going to run the ball. Yeah. They're playing a super physical style of football that's very different than what most of the teams.
Which 2018 was 10th in the league, 10th in the nation for rushing offense, Clemson. So, I mean, obviously with ETN, but we tended to pull them in the fourth quarter.
Yeah. Again,
I don't know. I was just triggered. You know what? I'm easily triggered.
Well, and look, I get it, Jason. This would be my point. I don't really want to argue against either one of those teams. I think when you have a team that went 15-0 and a team that went 16-0, I don't want to argue against either one of those teams. Personally, I put Clemson above Indiana.
Yeah.
Which is what you really want me to say anyway. So, but I would. But again, I'm not sure that's even the argument. I think the argument of some of these other teams, you know, 2009 yeah. Alabama, I mean, based on
yeah,
what?
Yeah, to me that's a joke.
I mean, the 2018 Clemson would have destroyed 2009 Alabama.
That was Nick Saban before he had a modern offense.
Right. Right, it was Mark Ingram and exactly, it was Rolando McClain and you know those kind of guys. You know, again, I mean,
we destroyed their second best offense of all time behind 2020.
Right, this is Greg McElroy. I mean, I'm sorry if you think McElroy. If you think Trevor Lawrence and company aren't beating Greg McElroy and company, you're just crazy. By the way, I'm looking at the team now. They averaged 32.1 points per game and gave up 11.7. So they're not even in the ballpark of where Clemson and Indiana were.
Yeah. Good luck moving the ball into Power Rangers if you can't throw it.
Yeah. Yep. You know, now there are other teams on here that are really pretty interesting, and I want to go over some of them. Listen.
Hey, I was looking. I missed South Carolina on here. Where were they? My bad, Walt.
I would have Clemson above Indiana. I think Indiana's probably too low on this list too. You know, I think Clemson is way too low, and I think Indiana is too low. And we've already moved.
My apologies, Kurt Cignetti. We're both triggered.
Yeah. Well. yeah. Again, I think Clemson had the better upside talent, but I think Indiana's one of the best teams of all time.
Yeah.
You know, like for example, Miami, 2001 Miami is the most talented team anyone's ever seen.
Yeah.
If you ask me, if you could merge history and line that team up against 2025 Indiana, who wins? I'm taking Indiana. I watched that team. I just don't think they played to that talent. They played nobody, and they struggled with BC and Vatek and teams they should never have struggled with. And that's not who Indiana was. But I think Clemson at 11 is pretty much a travesty. So, yes.
Yeah. I'm on the same page with you, bud.
Yep. Thank you. Thank you, Jason. We'll be back. Hey, Morgan, remember when earlier today, Basketball David asked me about another rookie? I think he wanted a guy in addition to Jeremiah Love to watch for. And I said, I'd look out for Saints wide receiver Jordan Tyson if he can stay healthy. I said he has a real problem staying healthy. That's the issue. But I think he's immensely talented. Saints wide receiver Jordan Tyson left practice with a leg lower body injury today and didn't return. Kellen Moore said, we'll get more information. We'll probably have a better idea tomorrow. Tyson dealt with hamstring issues leading up to the draft process. Here we go. So I don't know, man. He's fragile, that's for sure. You can get in if you want. 654-7627, 654-7627. All right. We're talking about the Sporting News list of the alleged greatest college football teams of all time. And this list has Clemson at 11. And it's our contention that that's way too low, that it was a dominant team that had immensely talented players on the defensive front everywhere. The defensive front was a dominant group, had talent everywhere, quarterback, running back, wide receiver, had all of it, really. I mean, an immensely gifted team. It says, by the way, under the Clemson section, it says, a September scare from Syracuse, a 27-23 nail-biter, was the only blip in a season where the Tigers beat up on everybody, including number one Alabama. It has inside the poll. Wait a minute. Oh, you're gonna love this, Morgan. Oh, Jason. I missed this part, Jason. You're gonna love this, Jason. Clemson appeared on 15 of 20 ballots. So five people did not rank Clemson at all.
Yeah, it's just, to me, the 2018 team, I mean.
At all,
it's
Morgan.
It's impossible to not have them on a list.
Not at all. Five idiots who participated in this thing did not put Clemson on at all. Clemson appeared on 15 of 20, more than 25 Indiana and 2009 Alabama, which were on 12 ballots each. So Indiana only made the list of 12 voters.
But got a higher rank. Yeah, you know, that's how this goes.
Well, I mean, obviously there were people who put Indiana higher than 10, which, okay, I can understand that. Again, I don't really like the Clemson versus Indiana argument, because I think both teams accomplished something that no one else did.
To me, they're both just impossible to argue against.
Yeah, right. Exactly.
Or against each other.
It doesn't even feel good to argue against either one of those teams.
Yeah, I mean, they deserve their own moment.
They should both be higher than they are.
I don't know if they're on the college football Mount Rushmore, though.
Well, Mount Rushmore, we're cutting 20 down to 4.
That's going to be hard to do.
Yeah. All right, so let's take a look at some of these other teams, because and the case for some of these other teams that they have. 2009 Alabama, I'm completely out on this. I don't understand this at all. They went 14-0, so the record not as good as Indiana's or Clemson's. They averaged 32 points a game and gave up basically 12 points a game. You know, their listed All-Americans were Javier Arenas, Mount Cody, Mark Ingram, Mike Johnson, Rolando McClain, and their kicker, Greg McElroy, their quarterback. I'm sorry. To me, that's just a no. I don't see how that team matches up with Clemson at all, with 2011 Clemson. I just think it's ridiculous. Now, it's interesting. I don't see. There's no inside the poll thing on this. So in other words, we don't have any idea how or why Alabama's at 9. There's no information as to how that people voted for this team. I'm sorry. I think 2009 Alabama is ridiculous. I think they're behind Clemson, behind Indiana in terms of this conversation. 2008 Oklahoma. Okay. Now I think this gets interesting. Oh, excuse me, I think I said 2008. Number 8, Oklahoma. 1974, Oklahoma. Too many years, too many rankings. 1974, Oklahoma. Barry Switzer averaged 43 points a game, was first in the country. They gave up 8.4 points per game, just 8.4 points. That was fifth in the nation. All-Americans Kyle Davis guard, John Roush guard, linebacker Rod Shaw, who's a tremendous player, running back Joe Washington, who is a tremendous player, safety Randy Hughes, and of course, Leroy Selman and Dewey Selman, the three Selmans. And I've said this forever, and I'll continue to say this, Leroy Selman is the greatest college defensive player in the history of the game. Most dominant college defensive player ever, period. And so you couldn't score on that team. They were just filthy. Their offense was unbelievable. They were on probation, and they missed the bowl game because of that. But when Alabama lost to Notre Dame in the Orange Bowl, that clinched the national title for them, and they still won the 1974 national title. Went 11-0, pretty much killed everybody. That's a really good team. Whether you want to hold probation against them or not, I don't know. But the Selman trio were unbelievable. Rod Schultz was unbelievable. Joe Washington was unbelievable. Certainly a great team. They belong in the conversation. By the way, I think there's some losers who belong in the conversation. 1972 USC, that's number seven. Coach John McKay, averaged 38.6, third in the nation, gave up 10.6, seventh. All-Americans, Pete Adams, Charlie Young, Rich Wood. It says USC won three national titles in the 70s, but this is the only one the Trojans did not share in that era. USC opened the season with a 31-10 win at number four, Arkansas, which showed the power of the backfield led by Anthony Davis, Rod McNeil, and Sam Cunningham. Okay. That backfield was certainly one of the greatest backfields of all time. There's no question about that. Anthony Davis was unbelievable. Sam Cunningham had a great career at the pro level, too. Sam Cunningham was the greatest goal line running back in history. His vertical leap was unbelievable. He weighed 230 pounds. He just jumped over the pile. The schedule included six ranked teams. That included victories against rivals number 14 UCLA, number 10 Notre Dame at the end of the regular season, before a convincing 42-17 victory against number 3 Ohio State in the Rose Bowl game. They're in the conversation. They belong in the conversation. Look, when you're trying to evaluate all of history and you're looking at these teams, first of all, you have to know who they are. And then, you know, you have to have a legitimate discussion about their place and their talent and everything else. So USC, they have number seven. We're going to get to this. Number six, I think, is one of the most interesting teams on the list. What the greatest game ever played, in my opinion, and I think in the opinion of most college football experts, was the 1971 regular season, the Thanksgiving Day game between Nebraska and Oklahoma. Number one versus number two. Nebraska was thought to be the greatest team of all time. Oklahoma was thought to be right there with them. It's a game that was one of the legendary games in history. I don't think just the winner was great. I think the loser was great, too. That Nebraska team averaged 39.1 points a game and gave up 8.2. Rich Glover was their defensive tackle. He won the Outland Trophy. Johnny Rogers was their wide receiver, punt returner. He won the Heisman Trophy. Johnny Rogers, one of the most dynamic players in the history of college football. Johnny Rogers returned the punt for the touchdown in that game that really was the difference in the game. You might even argue Oklahoma looked better, but made a couple too many mistakes. It was like 34-31. Maybe it's 35-31. I think it's 35-31. And the Rogers punt return was really the difference. It says Nebraska also won the national championship in 70, but this team had the right combination of star power with Rogers, who had 53 catches for 873 yards and 11 TDs. Glover and Jacobson formed one of the greatest interior defensive tandems in the history of the game. Huskers beat number two Oklahoma 35-31 in the game of the century, which was defined by Rogers' 72-yard punt return for a TD. Nebraska stamped their legacy with a 38-6 win over number two Alabama in the Orange Bowl. Experts take, this star-loaded team, which rolled to a second straight national title, just as easily could have been the number one team on this list. With Johnny Rogers and Rich Glover dazzling as well as beating others, this was the cream of the Bob Devaney era. See, I think you can make a case that 71 Nebraska was the greatest team of all time. I think they're in that conversation. So I would agree with the write-up on that, and I think that they're probably too low on this list.
Better than their own 95?
That's the problem. That's the problem. Those are the two greatest Nebraska teams of all time, and I think they're very close. I think the Oklahoma team that Nebraska beat was way better than Steve Spurrier's Florida team that everybody thought was great. Number five, USC, 2004. 13-0, Pete Carroll, 38.2, 13 points allowed. Reggie Bush, Sean Cody, Matt Leinart, defensive end Mike Patterson. The Trojans were the dynasty of the early 2000s, and this team validated that with the second straight national championship run behind Leinart, who won the Heisman Trophy, and Bush, the electric playmaker, who kept the high-powered offense running. The defense probably does not get enough credit, given only three teams scored 20 points or more against them. They held off number 7 Cal and Aaron Rodgers in a 23-17 thriller in the regular season and routed number 2 Oklahoma 55-19 in the BCS championship game. Despite that dominance, inside the ballot, despite that dominance, USC did not receive a first-place vote among 20 ballots. This was left out of 4 ballots on the 20 voters. I don't think that that team belongs. I think 2018 Clemson would have walked the dog on that team. First of all, Matt Leinart was always overrated. Always. Always. Reggie Bush was always overrated. Sorry. You can give him the Heisman Trophy all you want. It doesn't make him the best player. He was a fourth-round draft pick masquerading as this superstar, and people just fell in love with him making big plays. But I just don't see it. I don't think that team belongs. I don't know about leaving him out. I wouldn't have left him out. But if you want to tell me that team is better than 2018 Clemson, I think you're crazy. So already, Morgan, we have bounced two teams from this consideration. Okay, we are basically narrowing our list. We're bouncing number 5 USC, the 2004 version, and we are bouncing number 9 Alabama, the 2009 version. We are bouncing both those teams right out of there. Okay, so Clemson's already moved up several spots. Before we get into this conversation about these others, number 4, 2005 Texas, 13-0, averaged 50.2 points per game, first in the nation, gave up 16.4 points. Michael Huff, Jonathan Scott, Roderick Wright, Vince Young. Vince Young should have won the Heisman Trophy. He was the best player in the nation. He was the most dominant player in the nation. He was all those things. Says experts take says that team was loaded with NFL picks, a killer offensive line, secondary, and of course the incomparable Vince Young. I consider the 2006 Rose Bowl the best game ever played because it matched number 1 and 2, a pair of teams that averaged over 50 points a game, a supposedly unbeatable defending champion in USC, the perfect setting in Pasadena, Keith Jackson on the mic, and the highest of drama when Young's final touchdown dance on 4th and 5. I think it was 4th and 6. And the fourth down stop of the Trojans before the game-winning drive. We're going to talk about that team on the other side. And more. We'll be back. Part I agree with. I think this was the greatest national championship game ever played. I agree with the drama part. I'm still not sure about Texas as a whole. I think Texas received the greatest individual performance in a championship game we have ever seen with what Vince Young did against that USC team that was really supposed to be the greatest team of all time. But I've always thought that USC was a little overrated. They had Bush and they had Lendale White. I think Leinart was overrated. I think Bush was overrated. I think Texas was good, but it was more just Vince Young. It wasn't Texas. So does that team belong in the conversation? They do. They went 13-0. Does that team belong 7 spots ahead of 2018 Clemson? No, I don't see it. I think 2018 Clemson was better. than 2005 Texas.
This one's hard because of my generation. 2005 was a time where I was getting ready to go to college, and then college football had that game. I mean, it felt like everybody and their sister watched that game. I mean, that like really springboarded modern college football, in my opinion.
Okay, so I buy that, but that has to do with the theater of it.
It does, and that's why I don't like saying that out loud, but it was such a dramatic national championship game. But the problem is, we're supposed to be arguing the whole team, the whole season, not just one defining game. But, I mean, they did, it says they averaged 50 points, you know, which is, I mean, for a whole season is crazy.
It's incredible.
But, I mean, they had memorable names on the team for sure.
Not like this said this team was loaded with NFL picks. No, they really weren't. You know, I don't think that's really true. I think this team was the Vince Young and the Youngettes.
Yeah. You know, I would say more of that.
Right. And I thought that at the time it was played too. I thought Vince Young was going to beat USC, and he did. But it took a superhuman effort in order to do it. You know, I think if those two teams played 10 times, I think USC probably won 9 of them. And Vince Young won the one that mattered. And so you give it up to him, but I don't think that makes you one of the top 3 or 4 teams of all time.
Yeah, at least in that game, I mean, they couldn't stop each other.
Right, they couldn't stop each other.
It was like, who's going to have the ball at the end?
Right. Number three is 2019 LSU, 15-0, Ed Orgeron, but you know, Joe Burrow, Lamar Chase, that whole bunch, Jefferson. I mean, this I would say is the most talented modern offense. Now the defensive numbers aren't great here because the first half of the year they struggled. They got much better the second half. They finished 32nd. They averaged 48.4 points per game. That was first. I think it's the most significant modern offense that we've ever seen. We've had this constant debate here over a number of years now, about 2019 LSU versus 2018 Clemson. I think that's a good debate. And again, that's why 2018 Clemson needs to be elevated on this list. 11 is way too low. If you're going to put LSU 3, I think Clemson is in that conversation. But the distinction is the 2018 Clemson defense was certainly better than the 2019 LSU defense, which improved but was still not the level of the 2018 Clemson defense, which was elite. Number two it was 2001 Miami, coached by Larry Coker. There's some bad coaches coaching some of these football teams. 37 future NFL draft picks, which is crazy. They said the best team of the 21st century. Again, I would say the most talented team, not the best team. I think those are two different things. And number one, Nebraska, averaged 52.4 points per game and surrendered 13.6, and probably most of that was in garbage time. Nebraska won every game by 14 points or more in its national title defense. The Huskers rolled up 400 rushing yards per game on 70 yards per carry with a dominant attack that featured Frazier, Amon Green, and Lawrence Phillips. Seven players had at least 300 rushing yards. Tomich and Grant Wistrom were a part of the relentless pass rush called the Black Shirts, that's a fact. Nebraska hammered Nick Saban-led Michigan State 50-10 in week two, never stopped until the 62-24 victory over Florida in the Fiesta Bowl on January 2nd, 96. Frazier's 75-yard TD run against the Gators best embodies the unstoppable nature of that team, which resonates in Lincoln as a standard more than 30 years later. Inside the poll, 95 Nebraska. How about this? Now, this is crazy to me. 95 Nebraska was the only school that appeared on all 20 ballots. How can that be? So, I've raised questions about number two Miami as it relates to being number two, not to their talent level. So you're telling me that there were people who left that team out completely of the top 20? There were people that left 2019 LSU out completely? People who left 2005 Texas out completely? I don't understand. Who did they vote for? I mean, they've got to be. There must be some crazy votes if these teams didn't show up on any on some individuals' ballots completely. Their people left them all complete. The only team that showed up on all 20 ballots. How does 2018 Clemson not show up on all 20 ballots? But the fact that only 95 Nebraska showed up on all 20 ballots is. I mean, isn't that crazy? That part, that may be the most crazy thing of all. And I did not know that until just now. By the way, all those cars were actually people who belonged here. They were. I didn't see anybody. That's the thing. I actually yelled out. I didn't know anybody was here. I thought we were the only two people here.
You had to run off employees?
And right. Apparently, yeah. Run off employees.
Dare you work here?
Right, other friends. And then I just saw somebody else walk by there, which I don't really understand at this
point.
Telling
you, there's ghosts.
Yeah, it may be. Morgan Thomas, 2001 Miami, doesn't make someone's list at all. How about that?
Texter says 2026 South Carolina will be on there.
Yeah, I'm sure they will be. I'm waiting for that. I actually think there are some teams that lost that belong on this list. Now, how you put a team that loses, again, for me, I think if you're looking at the whole history of this, okay, I think 1971 Oklahoma that lost to that Nebraska team that was at six in the greatest game ever played. I think that team probably belongs on this list. But in terms of history, I think there are some glaring mistakes that until you actually correct those mistakes, I don't think you can fairly complete the list. Like in trying to figure out where Clemson belongs, and I think Clemson's got to be near the top of this list, 2018 Clemson. In trying to figure out where Clemson belongs, I think some of the first things you have to do is you have to take the Wilkinson, Oklahoma team and move them into the top 10. I think you have to take the 1944 Army team and move them right into the top 10. I think both those teams are top 10 teams. So as you displace some of those teams, I think those teams have to move up. I think they've done history a disservice in not understanding how great those teams were. And I think the facts obviously point to that as to the talent level. Again, just because it happened in a different time period doesn't mean you're not responsible for knowing about it. Yeah, you know, especially if you're going to put together a list where you're claiming these are the best teams the last 140 years.
Well, you know, my rule is nothing older than 95.
Yeah. Well, again, and that's fine.
My brain doesn't work past.
But that's fine. But then frame it that way. You know what I'm saying? Then frame it that way. There are way too many people who say, you know, the greatest of all time, and then they give you a list that includes the last 20 years.
Right.
You know, again, if you don't know anything about all time, just frame it in the framework in which you have some knowledge
which
of
you
it.
Know. Yeah, okay, right. I like that.
And that's the easy answer to that. This is really a good conversation and a good debate, but I think Clemson is right there with 2019 LSU. And trying to position some of these other teams, I think it's a challenge. Again, you got to evaluate all of history. It's a tough thing to do. It's very tough to do on the fly. I think they have several major whiffs, teams that are 10, 15 spots out of where they need to be from a historic standpoint. But I think wherever you put 2019 LSU, you have to put Clemson, 2018 Clemson, in that same area. Maybe we'll continue this a little bit tomorrow. We have a lot to get to then. I'll see you then.